Praise God. Good. All right. Get myself organized here. Okay. So, you know, as I read my Bible, these things kind of jump out and these thoughts of, ooh, that would be good. So I have this gray file folder, and I just kind of write down, ooh, that would be good. So I've had this, ooh, that would be good for about 2 years in my gray file folder. And then the more I'm reading, I'm like, a scripture, I'm like, ooh, that'll be good. So today is, ooh, that'll be good, but that's not the title of the message. So, and it really started, so the last couple of years, one of my daughters lives in California, and I've been so blessed to go out and visit her, and I've got to see this beautiful state of California and these amazing huge trees. And then the last couple of years, I've been able to go down to Florida to see my sister, and they're like totally different trees down there. And it got me thinking of all the verses in the Bible that have trees, talk about trees. Okay, so if you grew up in my children's ministry, Zacchaeus was a wee little, I'm not singing anymore, but there's the sycamore tree. How many of you know the song, know the verse, okay? So there's a tree, the sycamore tree. And then we have Jesus who goes and curses a tree, okay? So I started looking, I'm like, trees all over the Bible. And just so you can have some Bible trivia for Thanksgiving Day, did you know that in the NIV Bible, the word tree is written 293 times? Write that down. It's a good opener on when you have all your holiday guests here, okay? So you start seeing how trees are through the Bible, from creation and to the story of redemption. Now, creation, where does it start? In the garden, right? And it's just beautiful and it's peaceful and it's all this communication and communion with God. And then there's this tree that kind of causes some trouble, right? What's the tree called? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all right? And Eve goes and takes a bite. Eve eats it and she gives it to her partner, Adam. And man, it's just downhill trouble, right? So you see the story of trees and creation. And then let's just pop over to the story of our salvation. Let's start with Jesus. Jesus is now at the Garden of Gethsemane, surrounded by these olive trees. And he is in this place where he's just in pain and suffering. And it's more like, let me say it this way, it's more like a suffering and a surrender, because he says this, right? Y'all know this. Father God, I really don't want to go to this cross, but what does he say? Not my will, but your will. And that has to do with surrender. And we, you know, I by the way, where's my worship team? They're probably all running around here, but I just crack up when they just hit a song. I'm like, oh, it's on my message. I just love this. So we touched on this a little bit with one of our songs, okay? Now, let's keep moving with trees. There's this another tree, and you're all pretty familiar with it. It's called the tree or the cross at Calvary, right? And now remember, everything in the garden was perfect and right, and then everything went downhill and wrong. And Jesus dies on this cross, right? That's the cross, the tree. And then he's resurrected where? In the garden, okay? This is where his first back on alive things. So let me stretch you, and just maybe God is saying to us, hey, I'm the gardener, and I am going to cultivate you. I am going to grow you, and you can do wonderful things for me. So praise God. And how about this? He will take us with the pain of, excuse me, it's my own spit. Hang on there. He's going to take us with all the mess ups of our life, all the pain, some of the things I blew up in my life. And because of that tree, because of that garden, that place, the Father God will be the gardener that will just change you, restore you, and place you in an amazing place. That's a good tree. Amen? Amen. So, we see trees all through the Bible, and now the Bible also likens you like a tree. Now, I've been called many things, but not a tree, but the Lord talks about us being a tree. Us being a tree. So turn to Jeremiah. If you don't want to turn to Jeremiah, just write it down and look it up, okay? Then they'll pop it on the screen. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. This is what God says about us. Ready? Blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on who? The Lord. And whose hope and confidence is in the Lord. For he shall be like a what? See, I told you, tree. A tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when the heat comes, but its leaves shall grow green, and it shall not be anxious and full of care in the years of the drought, nor all that other stuff. Okay, so what God, this is what I love about God. He says, hey, y'all, if you are planted in me, even though we've got drought going on, even though the world is just a crazy place, I will bring you through. That's what I see when I see that. And I like the last part. But as leaves shall be green, it shall not be anxious, full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease reasoning. Yielding fruit. You know, you guys got to read that scripture over and over and over and over. And it's telling me, our God, my God, is going to walk me through, even if the even ifs happen. Amen? One more scripture, Psalm 52. Actually, I've got 10 more scriptures, but one more right here. Psalm 52, verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree. Where? In the house of God. And I will trust in, confidently rely on his living kindness and mercy of God forever and ever. Amen. All right. So they're going to pop up a picture. We're talking about trees. All right. Now, do I get a thumbs up? Good. Okay. If you look at that, it's really a CT scan of your lungs. But if you look at that, you know, I see tree, right? Go like this. I see tree with branches, okay? So, this is me, things that tickle me. I just look at that and I go, God's got this parallel of humans and trees. All right, Pastor D, we've had enough of that. All right, here we go. Ready? This is my main idea. This is your big idea that I want you to walk out here understanding better than you did before, all right? Some of you are like, yeah, Pastor D, I know that. Others of you are going to be like the deer in the headlight, and you might want to take some notes, okay? But here it is, three words today for our big idea. Ready? Be a tree. Everybody say that? Okay, be a tree, all right? By the way, be a good tree. Be planted, be rooted. Live your roots in God, all right? And you do that. If you be a tree and you're rooted and grounded in God, you can go some places. God can do some things in your life that he's got mapped out. So be a tree. Be a tree. Now, I want to stretch you. Not only a tree, but how about a tree lover? You know, they have this thing, tree huggers, but I'm just going to call us tree lovers. Be a tree lover. Be a tree lover, okay? And here's the deal. Every single one of you is called to be a tree. Yeah. Every single one of you is called to be a tree, all right? But this is the thing. We're not called to be a tree all by ourselves. We're not called to be a tree alone, all right? You are called to be a tree in the forest of faith, a tree in the community of believers. We are called to be tree lovers in God in a community, all right? Now, I am called to be a tree lover, a tree hugger. You are called to be a tree lover, tree hugger. YCF Church is called to be a tree lover, hugger of people too. I thank you, Liz. I appreciated what you said. I was like, oh, just going in that direction. So, amen. Alrighty. So, if we are called to be tree lovers, all right, so I'm a tree, how about I give you four characteristics of a healthy tree? Of a healthy tree. So you know what you're going to be and what you're going to look like. So, now, can I just be a pesky pastor for a couple of seconds here, all right? I encourage you. We give you these things. You can take notes, write notes. If you don't want to do notes, write the scriptures, okay? And it's not so I look, oh, man, I feel so good. They're taking notes. It's not about that. This is for you. And I took notes the last couple of weeks with Pastor Sherry, and then the next day I get up and I read those scriptures, and I'm like, oh, I got some more meat meat out of that. Well, I'm sucking some more juice out of that, all right? So there's a reason to take notes. And I know you all are smarter than a fifth grader, but you do not remember everything, okay? So take some notes. All right, enough for Pastor Pesky D, all right? So four characteristics of a healthy tree. Healthy tree, ready? Write this down. Healthy trees grow deep. Healthy, or better yet, healthy trees grow deep roots. Healthy trees grow deep roots. And listen to this. Every tree, if it's a little dwarf tree or it's 250 feet tall tree, every tree has this invisible thing called roots. Every tree, okay? Now, you can't see their roots. They're buried under the dirt, okay? And they're there, but the roots, those roots help this tree exist. You have to have roots, all right? Now, I just learned this as I'm studying this. I was like doing my little scientific studies and stuff. But did you know that the average tree, its roots are 1.5 times its height. Its roots are 1.5 times its height, okay? So every tree, whether it's a 5 foot or a massive tree, it's got roots that go down real deep, righty? Now, how many of you love Discovery Channel and the Science Channel and stuff like that? Have you ever watched on there, you know where they do those, what do you call it, time-lapsed? Like they'll show a picture of a flower, right? Okay, so watch this one on trees, all right? Now, when you watch the tree, you know, we're going to go like this, kind of looks counterproductive because at first, it's just roots down, right? Down. You just keep seeing roots growing down, going down. And I think there's something to that. I think, I know there's something to that, what God has for us, and he wants our roots first, and they got to grow deep, and we'll talk about it. Now, I love the culture we live in, and you know, oftentimes we see people on stage, and we kind of put them on a pedestal because we see stuff on the outside of them. We see what they do. We can see with our eyes what they do, all right? But behind every person who has that gift that we see, that lasts, okay, I got news. There was a development. There was a development of discipline, of character in the soil of their life so that they could have those things that we see, all right? And God works that same way with us. He wants to develop us first with our roots, okay? First with our roots, all righty? Now, we also, in this time we live, we kind of have this infatuation with the overnight success. We just love those overnight successes. And if you know me a little bit, I love the Olympics. I was glued. I was recording everything. I love the Olympics. And you love to see like that sort of like, I've never heard of you before. And then they hit the slopes or what, the pool, whatever. And now they just are just doing amazing things. And we go, whoa, they were like an overnight success. But come on. There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And let's throw some money in there. For every success, they're not overnight success, guys. So let's take it with our trees. There's actually years of roots that went deep before you saw the fruit of this person. Woo, they're an overnight success, right? All right. Guys, can you pop up that? This is a picture of, let me give you another example, of a Chinese bamboo plant. And last two decades, they were kind of like the in plant to have. And they're really good because you really had to work hard to kill them, all right? I was like, they're a good plant to have. They take a lot of abuse, okay? Now, this is a Chinese bamboo plant. And the gardener will plant the seed in the dirt, right? And then it waters it day after day, week after week, month after month. And get this, year after year, and you see nothing. Okay, 1 year goes by, 2 years go by, and you see nothing. And I would have been like, am I watering the right spot? Was it over here or over there? Because I sure don't see anything. But he's watering, okay? He's smarter. He knows where he planted, okay? 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 4 years go by, and you see nothing. Fifth year comes, and all of a sudden you got this bud, this just popping out, this little green thing that pops out of the ground, okay? And then listen to this. In the next couple of weeks, I think it's like 6 feet, this plant will grow 50 to 60 feet tall. Okay, now, if you were the somebody that walked after, you know, 5 years and they saw this little green thing pop out, you're like, oh, and then you see it in the next couple of weeks grow 50 to 60 feet tall, you would say, whoa, that plant was like an overnight success. But you hadn't seen the 4 years behind you, the 5 years behind you, okay? So, this is how God works in our life, all right? There are things that one day God's going to have you do, and people are going to see the fruit of your life, and you're going to be a blessing. But listen, what's way more important was those 5 years where your roots, okay, your roots grow deep in the Lord, okay? Super important. Amen. Now, so we would call that there's this development, there's this process that's underneath that nobody sees, but I'm telling you guys, it's way more important than the day, bing, you see fruit, what God does in us for that season. Now, if I was a seed, I'd probably go, God, I got all this potential and you got me in the dirt. Anybody ever say that with the Lord? Like, I got all this stuff, I'm so gifted and you got me in the dirt, okay? But here's the thing. Growth is messy, it's dirty, it's not cool, it's not pretty. But there's growth that's going down here. There's growth that's going down here, okay? And God, I know this. I know this. I've seen this in my life. I've seen this in people's life. God wants us to grow deep down first before we grow up. And he does that, right? You know, I was sitting here thinking, I think I've been in church for about 40 years. And then I thought, oh, it's just been a while. Then it feels so bad. Okay. So I've been in church for a while. And I've watched people come to church. Some of y'all been in this church for like 30 plus years. How many years have we been doing this? Anyway, go figure it out. So long time. Just a little while. Okay. So, but, you know, I've seen people come here and they're way more talented than I am. Way more gifted than I am. But they don't have roots, these roots that should be developing in their life. And after a while, you don't see them, and I find that they're not serving God. That's sad, okay? And then, so roots are important. And I know people that didn't grow their roots. How about this one? The root of integrity. Yeah, ouch, Pastor D. And their businesses didn't make it. They didn't have roots, those roots, okay? So, guys, roots are important. If you're taking notes down, be a tree, and roots are important, okay? And, you know, sometimes I get a little antsy, and I can be a little frustrated, and I'm like, you know, I could go someplace else. It would be easier. I could go someplace. I'm going to go far away. I'm going to get another job, okay? And thank God there was this still small voice that I was listening to that said, oh, baby, stay where you are. Your roots are still growing, okay? You can let your roots grow, and then they're going to have fruit, okay? So roots are important. And just ratting on my life here, thank God. The Lord didn't let me speak into people's lives whose maybe they had toxic thinking until I got mine straightened out, okay? You know, I won't tell that story. Moving on. Okay, so thank God that the Lord was working in me, actually roots. I had to have these roots grow. And yeah, I could see everybody else's fault except for mine, but I let these roots grow. And then, you know, so I'm pretty good on this thought thing, okay, taking captive and stinking thoughts and stuff like that. So praise God. Hey, if you're taking notes, here's a little blurper that can go on your little post-y note for the week. Ready? You need to rest in your root season. You need to rest in your root season. Now, I remember baking with my mom. She was an incredible baker. back then, she made everything from scratch. So, you know, we're making a cake, and she would, especially when we were little, she would measure everything out, and you got to dump it. That was about it. When we got a little bit bigger, we could measure and stuff, and we'd dump it in the bowl, and we'd get to stir it or put the electric beaters on, and then we'd pour it into a pan, and we'd put it in the oven. And then what's the best part afterwards? Right, licking the beaters, okay? So while I'm licking the beaters, right, I start getting antsy. You know, I get antsy waiting for this cake to come out of the oven. So you know what I would do? I'd open the oven, and my mom would yell, "Don't do that. You're going to sabotage the cake." I'm like, "What do you mean sabotage?" Well, if you've done a little baking, the cake goes, all right. So that's cake baking, but how about our life? How about maybe somebody else, not us, of course, we're walking around with a half-baked harvest. Half-baked harvest, okay? Because all we're doing is looking ahead. And listen, guys, we should have heard God. We should have faith for our future. We should be looking there. But if all you're doing is looking ahead, you're going to miss where God has you now, where he's trying to develop you. And then you're not going to be developing. You're going to sabotage your cake, right? Praise God. So, I don't know about you, but the last couple years have been interesting. If you like the word difficult, go for it. And it's been really interesting to watch my life, my friends, our church family. It's been difficult in a lot of different ways, okay? But for me, as pastor, this has been hard for me. Because what's happened is I have watched people who love the Lord Jesus, all right? They love church. They love this church, and I've watched them fall away. And that's been hard for me. It's been hard for Pastor Sherry, okay? Now, let me string you on with a little worm on the hook. How many of you have ever talked to a sleep talker? One of my kids went through this stage. It's not the one up here, okay? This stage where you'd walk by the room at night, you know, we put him to bed early, and I left the doors open. Don't close the doors. You never know what they're doing back there. You think they're asleep. So we'd walk by, and I'd hear somebody sleep talking. And so I kind of get in there, and you could actually get in their face because they're asleep, right? So I get in their face, but they're asleep, and they're saying the right things, you know, I don't know, whatever, I can't, okay? And they look like they're awake, but they're not. They're asleep, but they're talking, but it really, you're like, no, that one didn't make any sense, okay? So, sleep talkers. In the last year and a half, I've talked to sleep talkers. And I'll go up to them and I go, "Hey, how you doing? Where you been? I miss you." And this is what the sleep talkers say. "Oh, Pastor D, I love you. I miss you too. I've been social distancing." Okay, I wish they weren't recording. But I go on Facebook and they have posted a zillion places with a zillion people. And I'm like, all right. Okay, shh, delete. All right? Okay. And then I want to say, you know, it's been a year and a half, and some of them are not following the Lord the way they did before. Okay? Now, and I can tell you why. Listen. It's not because they don't love Jesus. It's not because they don't read their Bible occasionally. It's not because they don't have a 30-minute devotion, okay? It's really, and maybe their heart's in a decent place, but their roots. And 2020, baby, it showed your roots. 2020 showed your roots. It did. Now, for as many that were like that, I can tell you even more that were listening online or been here, it showed their roots. And yes, they went through the same tough time, same difficult or drought or something like that, and they are thriving. I watch people thrive in this church, okay? And, you know, their roots were, they just had deep roots, all righty? And their businesses didn't go back. Their businesses went forward. Their marriages actually improved in that shutdown time. Their parenting what got better, all right? Why? Their roots were deep. Roots are important, guys, okay? All righty. So let me read you another scripture. Colossians 2:6. Here we go. Missed it. Okay, here we go. Colossians 2:6. And now, just as you accepted Jesus, raise your hand if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you must what? Continue to follow him. Let your what? Roots grow down deep in him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the trust you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Okay. So, number one, you need to grow deep roots. Number two, if you're taking notes because you're all smarter than the fifth grader, here we go. Healthy trees need to grow wide. Healthy trees need to grow wide. All righty. Now, one of my most favorite, because I always have favorites, but my most favorite tree is the sequoia redwoods. When I was in California, I saw the redwoods, but I didn't see the sequoia big ones. I saw these redwoods, okay? And they are massive trees. They are massive trees, okay? Some of them are like five stories taller than the Statue of Liberty. I read that someplace, okay? They're massive, okay? And as big as they are, their roots are super wide. As big as they are, their roots are super wide. And I discovered, no, I didn't, I read this, but I discovered the secret to their roots, okay? The secret to the sequoias, listen to this. The secret to why they, one of the reasons, is they don't grow alone. Suck on that one. That's a good one, okay? They don't grow alone, okay? Now, if they grew alone, if they were planted not around any other trees, if they were not in a community of trees, you know what would happen? They would collapse under the weight of this massive tree, all right? So guess what they do? They grow with other trees. And if they didn't, they would not reach their full potential. Wink, wink, you think we're talking about trees, but wink, wink, what are we talking about? Okay, all righty? So here's another cool thing. They lock roots. They interlock their roots. So they're planted with a community of trees, right? And they interlock their roots. They interlock their roots, okay? And you know what that does? It makes them collectively strong because they got all these trees in their community that are interlocked in, okay? Okay, now why would you do that? Well, first off, they're enormous trees. They're big trees, and that means they got big wind and storms that hit them, okay? And because they're interlocked, they make it. They live long and they're a success, okay? So, God has called us to be in a community of trees where we interlocked with each other. Amen? Sure, Pastor D, amen. Okay, now. All right, there's other trees that talk to each other. This was fascinating. Go look it up, okay? Scientists figure this out. They're called the willow trees. Anybody? We used to have two. Then we had one. Then we had okay. Willow trees in our backyard, okay? Willow trees. And when a willow tree is attacked by this web worm, it starts talking to the other trees that they're connected with, all right? And they tell them, hey, I'm under attack. You need to prepare. And then what they do is they produce this thing called tannin on their leaves. So when that webworm comes, they don't die. All right? Trees talk to each other. Isn't that cool? All right? All right. Guess what? God has designed the church to be connected and talk to each other. Not alone. You are not to be alone. Not to be alone. Okay? Now, there's two ways you can learn this, y'all, okay? You can learn it from your own experience. You can learn this by your own mistakes. Or how about you learn it from your experience and your mistakes? Now, listen, I love when God corrects me for my mistakes in the Word. And, I love him because I just take it like, okay, take it, D. This is God, how much he loves you. But I tell you what, I am smarter than a fifth grader, and I would rather learn from your mistakes. How about your wisdom of experience? Amen? And, okay, so that's how God teaches us. He teaches us through one another. So turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. God loves, there's lots of ways to learn, but we are to learn from others. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:7. Therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. All right? The next one here, just jot this down. Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we grow and become in every respect mature. Amen. I'm going to be mature. Mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. All right. Now, one more thing about trees, okay? Ready? Did you know that a lot of trees, a bunch of trees, some trees, okay, some trees, during drought, listen to this, they share their root system, they share water. So you got this one tree that's not doing good. It's in drought. It's not doing good. And the other tree that is close to the supply of water, shares its water with the one in need through the roots. I've watched this for the last 30 plus years at YCF. I could cry. You guys make me so proud. Especially, I see this happen over and over in our grow groups, okay? So you got a bunch of people that are in this community called a grow group, all right? And they meet together, they share together the word of God, and they have friendships and stuff. And then someone has something hit them, okay? Something maybe not so good, and the community, the interlocked root system of this group finds out about it. And guess what they do? They're on it. They're just on it. And just recently, without saying names or something, like a family in our church just got hit in September. And the group found out about it. And I heard, and the person said, you know, we have always been on the giving side since day one of YCF. But this is the first time that we were really kicked down. And the group found out about it, and they were calling us and praying for us and texting prayers for us and dropping off food. And this person said, amazing. Now, there is value being connected. And you might be just doing Jim Dandy good, but life hits sometimes, so connected, all right? So, you know, when I think about that, I also think about the book of Acts, and I'm just going to read it to you. Acts 4:32. All the believers were in one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything. I watched this happen over and over at YCF. You guys just are awesome, okay? Connected. Amen. All right. Okay, so healthy trees grow deep. Healthy trees go wide. Here's our third one. Healthy trees say, they have to say something, my roots are right here. Healthy trees say, my roots are right here, okay? Psalm 92. This is like every pastor's favorite scripture. We just love this one, okay? So, Psalm 92. I'm going to read out of a really different version, but so just listen. Here we go. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree and grow like a really huge tree, a cedars in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they will still bear fruit, healthy and green, they will remain. Okay, now, can I be pesty Pastor D and step on your toes? If you don't like it, move them in, okay? But listen, it does not say, when I read this, that you are planted in a parachurch ministry and you'll flourish. It doesn't say you're planted in a charity and you'll flourish. Those are good things. And we need to get out of our four walls, guys, and be involved in our community and help these organizations. But I don't know. I just read this. It says they will flourish when they're planted in the house of the Lord, right? They will flourish, okay? Now, it doesn't say they will flourish when they're planted in a podcast of some preacher that they like. It doesn't say they'll flourish there. It doesn't say that if they're planted in a church far away that they watch online every week, they will flourish. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that you can be planted with a pastor that you follow on Instagram, that you will flourish. It doesn't say that you'll be you'll flourish if you read through a book. It doesn't say any of that. And while I'm on it, live stream. I love live stream. I got to watch Sherry when I was on vacation. Loved it. Okay. And it was just great. Okay. And it's great when things happen in our life. It does. Okay. And life gets in the way. I understand that. But that's not really the best. Not really. Planted. Okay. Planted. Okay. Not connected. All right. Let me say it this way. Everybody say, I'm a tree. Guess what trees have? Trunks. I'm a tree. I have a trunk. Sometimes we have junk in the trunk. Right? Okay? And we got some things in our life. Right? We got some things in our life that other people have to help us out of. Right? So they do. We do that. Okay? We all do. I do. Get to know me. I've got junk in the trunk, and I have people that help me with this junk. In the trunk, okay. But if you're only connected online 2 times a week, maybe, if you're not connected in a group, if you're not connected in a community, guess what? You don't have people that get in your face and ask you tough questions, the junk in the trunk, that you need help with, all right? You have to have them, all righty? So, because then we won't become the disciple that God has called us to be, that not only gets the junk in our trunk out, but helps other people. Amen. Okay, happy place. Let's see where we're going here. All right. By the way, we have an enemy. We have an enemy, okay? And he is perfectly happy. Just happy if you get all excited. One of those, whoa, I'm a Christian. Whoa, glory be, hallelujah. Shake down together and running over. Pastor Sherry's funny link, okay? The enemy doesn't care if you get that excited, but gets nervous when you're not connected, all right? He's cool if you sing during worship, and please sing. It was just fun today, okay? He is not threatened if you go to Christian concerts. He is not worried if you're listening to Christian radio, and all of those things, guys, are good. Please do that, all right? Okay? But they don't threaten the enemy. He's not like, oh, my gosh, okay? He's not like that, all righty? And let me toss this one. Just maybe, you could even attend church, and he don't care as long as you're not connected. He don't care you come to church. You know, you can come and sit and just check, had a great time. Ooh, that was wonderful. Ooh, okay? That doesn't make him sweat, okay? But listen. You know what gets the devil a little nervous? When we are planted in the house of the Lord and our roots go deep and we have connections with one another, we're pouring into one another and we're growing. That makes him nervous, okay? It makes him nervous because these roots are going deep and we're got fruit going. That doesn't. So, how about God is the gardener and y'all need roots? Amen? Amen. All right. Let's suppose I'm the enemy. Okay, and I want to do everything to convince you. I'm going to try to do everything to convince you that not to be planted in dirt. I am going to do, I'm really strategist, okay? Okay, so I'm going to try to convince you to devalue the soil that you're planted in. To not value the soil you're planted in. That's what the enemy's strategy, okay? So, let's be real. I remember this with Sherry. Some of you are called to live in York County, all right? I remember Sherry going, oh, I don't want to go back to York County. All my kids, you know, I don't want to go. Some of you are called to live in York County, okay? But we don't have any joy. We don't have any joy living here, okay? Because we're always looking to Florida. Sorry, you guys. the Carolinas, okay? The warm places. I love you guys. I totally exist. Okay. All right. So what I call that, not y'all. I call that destination disease. You're always looking, okay, all right. Now, I'm going to be for a minute Dr. D, and I am going to give you symptoms of destination disease. And if you have a couple of them, you might need to pray, Lord, help me, okay? So, destination disease, here's symptom number one. Everything looks better far away. It does. It does. That is true. Okay, here's one. I spend hours on the travel sites on Instagram, okay, fantasizing about the place I want to be instead of putting my roots where God has called me. Okay, enough of that. You might have destination disease, all right? How about this? We love looking on job application sites, okay? But I have a job, a good job. But you know what happens when you keep doing that? You never, you're always like, if I had another boss, okay, if I made more money, okay, but God gave you a good job. Matter of fact, if I would sit down with you long enough, you'd probably say, I remember praying with Pastor D for this job. God gave me this job. And now we got destination disease going on, okay? Here's my last one on this. We love to spend 52 weeks of the year consumed, nice word, Pastor D, dreaming of our three-week vacation we get once a year. So for the entire year, you're just dreaming. That's all you think about, okay? Now, God loves vacations. I love vacations. You know you all need a vacation. It's a time to rest. It's a time to refuel. It's a time to get suntan, okay? They're good for you. They're good for you, all righty? Okay, but here's the problem. We start focusing on things that are far away, and we miss the miracle of what God wants to do in you here and now. Not only in you, but for others. But I am thinking about my next vacation, okay? But I'm not consumed, all right? It's okay. Okay, so if you're taking notes, write this down. Don't curse. Not the F words, okay? But this one, listen to me. Don't curse what God's called you to. Don't curse what God's called you to, okay? All right? Now, I run into people who have spouses, and they're like, oh, Pastor D, my spouse is, you know, our marriage is a mess. My marriage is a mess. And I'm like, yeah, your marriage is a mess. And then you start spending time with them, and they are cursing the spouse. Oh, my wife is always this. My wife is that. My husband, if he would do this, then I would do that, okay? And you wonder why your marriage is falling apart. You have cursed God gave you, oh, God, I want to get married. God gave you that spouse. He answered your prayers. Now stop cursing him, all right? Amen. All right, here, moving on fast. You curse the job, okay? And you wonder why you didn't get a raise, all right? And you curse the job, this stupid job, my stupid boss. This is my favorite word, stupid, 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 okay? Because I don't do some other words anymore, okay? And what happens is, you know, you're cursing with your mouth. And then, I see this all the time, you are not diligent in your work, you know, work unto the Lord. That's what happens. You can, I can smell when you got this going on, all right? And we wonder, we just wonder, okay? Here's my last one on this one. Okay, just hang on. Some people curse their kids and they don't even know it. Some people curse their kids and they don't even know it. But listen, I love getting around a parent that they just bless their kids. Even when their kid is the ornery one. Or they're in the season, I would say. They're in the seasons. They're in the season, okay? And I love, especially moms. Oh, they'll find the one thing they do good and they'll just tell them how great they are at that. Even though they have been ornery over here, on over here, okay? All right? So moms are amazing at that, okay? But I get around some parents, and they curse their kids, and I really feel sad for their kids, because these parents have done this, and these kids like this, and they don't have any value. These kids don't have any value because this parent has, just you're a loser, you're dumb, you're just like your sister, blah blah. You know, they're cursing them. Okay, that shouldn't be. And we wonder why our kids are failing. We're wondering why our kids don't have any ambition. Well, how about we need to not curse them, but bless them. Find find the one thing. They brush their teeth every day. They've been ornery all day, but gosh, thank you. You're just such a blessing, okay? Do that, all right? So be excited where you're planted. Don't curse it, amen? Now, here, calling is the cure for destination disease. Calling, all right? Let me give you an example. Some pastors and I were talking about this, and we kind of joked, but it sticks with me. I actually wear pastor goggles, not these, okay? Pastor goggles. And you can either wear my pastor goggles, or you can be the gloom and doom. And we can wear those, okay? And listen, there are times it just you've been pam, 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 hit hard, and you can easily get into the negative. But I choose to wear my pastor goggles, all right? And so you can wear your own goggles too, okay? Here's one example. Doom and gloom. York County, their best years are over. York County, they're just failing. York County. You know what I say? Well, you know what? God loves to resurrect things that look dead. You know what? This isn't such a bad place. You know what? God, the best is yet to come. I'm putting my pastor goggles, or how about y'all put your goggles on and you start saying this, okay? Stop cursing it. And you know what? God just loves to specialize in doing big things in little places. And I say this all the time. We are not a small church. We are a growing church. All right? I see this, I put my goggles on, and you can say that, all right? How about doom and gloomers? They see imperfect people, and they just write them off. I mean, this person, la, 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 that's it, you're done, okay? I put my goggles on, and I go, well, they're a piece of work in the making. Well, I see potential. What do we say? The diamond in the rough, okay? You got to do that. Don't curse them. They're going to be there forever cursed, okay? You got to deal with them. How about you start not cursing them, all righty? Okay, it's raining again. Doom and gloomers. Oh, my gosh, another dreary Monday. I got to go to work. How about you say, thank God it's raining. My father-in-law would say about the weeds, well, praise God, weeds are green. Just mow everything, okay? Or how about, at least I don't live in California with wildfires. Praise God for the rain. You can curse it and have it. You can bless it or have it. Amen? All right? So, okay, one more. Pesky Pastor D. Write this down. I'm not even going to look. You cannot, yes, I will. You cannot be planted in two places. A plant, a real live plant, I don't care how good the soil is and how strong the plant is, you put it in the dirt, and every 2 weeks you transplant it here, you transplant it here. Guess what? It's not going to grow. And what makes you think? All righty? So it is kind of prevalent in our culture, and I got way out of whack when we had shut down, okay? Because then we only went live stream. Okay, now people are like, oh, Pastor D, I attend 10 churches on Sunday. Okay? I am all for get as much as God as you can, but... We can only be planted, like a real plant, like a people plant, like a Christian, in one place, all righty? Now, so you know what I call them? I was trying to think of a nice words, Pastor D. Soil hoppers. That's pretty good. Soil hoppers, okay? Soil hoppers. I read some really cute things. I was just laughing last night. I was like, that's a good one, right? I'm a soil hopper, and I go, I don't really belong anywhere. I'm just led by the Spirit. As the wind of the Spirit blows me. You know, I love to worship over here, and I love the children's ministry over here, and I love the conferences over there, and I love the young adults ministry over here, okay? And they got roots all over the place, but there's a problem. Ready? The problem. They don't develop fruit, harvest, because they're planted. Okay. All right. And, you know, actually, now I'm not mad at them, y'all, if you're listening, okay, because y'all are here, but if you're listening, I'm not mad, okay? I'm not mad at you. I don't mean to shame you, but I'm actually sad for you. I get sad because soil hoppers don't get a harvest because they don't stay long enough to have fruit to have a harvest, okay? That's not good. Praise the Lord. So you can either be a soil hopper or you can be planted in the house of the Lord, but you can't do both. and expect a harvest. Praise God. Okay. Last one. Ah, oh, Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Healthy trees are planted in every season. I'm just going to do this. Healthy trees are planted in every season. If I was going around and I'd say, hey, what season are you in? Hey, what season are you in? Hey, what season are you in? Probably have like dozens of answers, okay? But listen, all seasons are seasons God loves. So if you're a single in that season, if you're if you're a mom with young kids and you're in that season, that's okay. If you're a retired, glory be hallelujah, that's a good season. If you're an empty nester, oh, that was a wonderful season. Okay, they're all moving back in again here. Okay, and if you're, I don't know what else, retired, okay? All seasons are important to God. And it's not what season I'm in. It's if I'm surrendered in the season I'm in. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was down in Florida. I was hanging out with my grandkids, this two-year-old. And we're potty training. So last week, I was at the grocery store. And there was this couple in front of me, and I was like, oh, that looks like a two-year-old. I can tell because I just left one out in Florida. And all of a sudden, they almost are paying the cashier, and this little two-year-old, cute little blonde hair little thing yells, I have to go potty! And mom goes, hold it, run, run! And dad's trying to pay the cashier. And they're picking up this kid, and, you know, they're running. And, you know, I had great compassion because I just spent about a week doing the same thing, okay? I have great compassion for parents. I actually, as a parent, dread, I'll tell you the two things I dread, potty training, raising kids, and teaching them how to drive. One of them might cost your life, the other one costs your patience, okay? So I remember this potty training thing, and I also remember Jack coming in. He'd been at the church office all day, and I hear him laughing, and he's so happy to walk in the door, and the house looks like a war zone, blew up, and he's like, and I go, I haven't even brushed my hair or teeth since yesterday. Now, he was smart enough not to say, hey, honey, where's dinner? Let me tell you. So, but listen, on the serious side, I just want to encourage all the moms. This is not a throwaway season. Every season that you're in, if you would surrender it to God, He will do great things. I've watched it. I've lived it, okay? By the way, moms, you are the best person to reach other moms. Right. So, you know, you go to the park. I'm on a mission. I'm looking for another mom. And all you have to do is say hi. And there's, you get to go minister to them. All right. So, but listen, again, and also, you know, okay, let's move. It's a good season. Praise God. Let's talk about being singles. The attitude I hear a lot of times is singles is this season where my life is on pause until I get married. I can't do anything until I get married. I'm single, all righty? Now, you ask anybody that's married and has kids, and they will tell you, they are longing for the day when they were back single and they could go to round-the-clock dinner, 2 o'clock in the morning, sleep in. They can go all over the place, all right? Guys, you'll never get those years back, so how about you surrender? Say, God, this is the best season. And I got news, every season, any season, all season that you're in, God is doing stuff in you. Roots, 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 okay? Now, just suppose some of you are actually called to be single, okay? There will be a grace to do that, and you will have a joy to do that. And just go, yippee, all righty? All right, last one. Psalm 92, this is verse 14. Psalm 92, verse 14. In old age, okay? They will still bear fruit, healthy and green. Amen. They will remain, all right? So all you all that are retired, empty nesters, season, you're in that season. Man, just, you know, get refired, okay? Your season, surrender to them, and all the things that you have from birth to this point, God has used, and sometimes you just blew it, but God used it. Sometimes it's supernatural wisdom, sometimes it's wisdom. But all that things in your life, you get to pour in to other people, especially those younger than you. Okay? So every season is a God season. The key is, would I surrender my season? Amen? Let's close our eyes. Father, I could go for 10 more pages, but, you know, they're hungry. No, Father God, we just come to you and we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that we are your trees because of what Jesus has done for us. You have brought us into your family. You have brought us into your kingdom. You have loved us and you desire us to grow roots. And this day, Father, we will be planted in your word, in your house. We will be planted in the community of other believers, Father, so that we will bear fruit that gives the story of the glory of what you've done and you continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, one more thing. Don't move. Close your eyes. Freeze. I love doing that with kids. Everybody freeze. Okay. If you're here today and you've not been planted in the Lord, I'm not talking about a church. Okay, if you've not been planted in the Lord, and this message has just been woo talking to your heart, and I will tell you, today is a good day to get planted with the Lord. He loves you. This message was for you. He's been reaching you. You've been, you know, you're not just here by accident. So if you're here, I want to, you know, Jesus made it simple. People make religion complicated, but Jesus made it simple, and he only was dealing with hearts, and he said, whoever would call upon my name, I would save. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through and by me. That's pretty simple, all right? So if you're here today and you've not been planted in God, you can't remember a time where you've received, asked Jesus to, you can't remember, I don't think I've done this. You've not asked Jesus to come in your life. He is ready. So I would say, are you ready? If you're ready, let's pray this prayer. Pray this prayer after me, and we can all pray it together. And since you're all so tired of sitting, stand up, we'll do this. Okay, everybody say this. Father, I thank you for sending Jesus as my Savior. I need a Savior. So Jesus, today I ask you to come into my heart, to come into all my life, be my Savior and Lord. And I thank you that I am now a child of God, forever planted in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo! I love you guys. If you prayed this, if you said this for the first time, please come up. We've got some materials for you. The rest of you, go hang out. Connect. Amen. Have a wonderful day.